The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Jennifer Kennedy Dean about the power of prayer. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week is more information about stress and how to whittle down your middle. And this is from Prevention Magazine. Turns out eating triggers insulin and stress boosts cortisol. And when these two are elevated, these hormones work together to store extra calories that you consume in that old form of belly fat. In a study at the University of California at San Francisco, it was found that stress eaters, might be me here, showed higher levels of insulin and cortisol and gained more weight than those who didn't eat when anxious. How to prevent? Well, next time you sit down to eat, take 5 minutes, that is, to relax first. A good place to start? Put away all your gadgets and take a deep breath. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Jennifer Kennedy Dean is the executive director of the Praying Life Foundation and a very respected author and speaker. Turns out her book, Heart's Cry, has been named National Day of Prayer's recommended resource. What an honor and well-deserved. Welcome, Jennifer, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy. I am just pleased to be with you.
Well, I know that you have been lecturing on the subject of prayer for quite a long time, and I actually had the pleasure of meeting you in person a few months ago at a women's retreat at our local church in Kettering, Ohio. And I understand people were very moved by that retreat and your speaking. Why do you think we should pray, Jennifer?
You know, that is the central question, and I have been searching out the truth on prayer for decades, since I was a 20-year-old college student, and my central message is live a praying life. I have been teaching this for so many years and continuing to learn about it. And the question that I had to start with all those years ago is, if God is sovereign, why do we pray? And I think if everybody were honest, that is the question that lingers underneath. And so over all these decades, all these years, the cumulative evidence of Scripture tells me that God is so determined to be in a dynamic relationship with us, not just where we believe in Him and when we die go to heaven, but an interactive, daily, constant relationship with Him. He has designed it and put prayer into the equation. He is the one who designed prayer. And instead of moving us around like pieces on a pieces on a game board, or instead of manipulating our lives like we were puppets on a string, instead he loves us so much that he has called us into this cooperative venture with him called prayer. And he has designed prayer, not, it doesn't give him a new idea. It doesn't make something him want something he didn't already want. He doesn't listen to our prayers and then say, maybe yes, maybe no. What happens is when we pray, we are cooperating with him in being a conduit through which his power and provision moves out of the spiritual realm and into the material realm and the circumstances of earth. And prayer is what God has designed to be the vehicle that moves power into circumstances.
There's a neat quote by a gentleman by the name of Richard Trench about prayer, and I quote, "Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but rather it's getting God's will done on earth."
That's right. That's right. And the same Richard Trench has a wonderful quote that says, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of God's willingness."
And willing he is. Mm-hmm. Well, how does God actually teach us to pray? And is it something that should be standardized or free-flowing, such as in a creative prayer, very individualized for each one of us, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things about moving out of a mindset of saying prayers into the understanding that you are living a praying life. There is an undercurrent of prayer always active in the life of a believer, because at that moment of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has moved in and made his home in you. And you are his house of prayer. And so there's no formula we have to follow in order to get it right. There's no correct set of words that we need to package between "Dear God" and "Amen." We are living in a flow of power and provision. We are living in a continual interaction between the material realm and the spiritual realm. When Jesus' disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," the implied end of that is, "like you pray." And they went on to say, like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. It was very common that a rabbi would teach his disciples how he prayed. So when Jesus answered that prayer by giving them what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, what he gave was a typically Jewish prayer called the standing prayer, an index of topics about which he prays. And so he wasn't saying, "always say these words this way." He wasn't even really saying, "always put it in this order." He was just saying, "in the course of my praying life, here are the topics that I cover. Let your will that's done in heaven be done on earth. Forgive us our sins." And so he didn't mean, "say these words and then you will have prayed." He meant, "here, cover these topics, and you don't have to do it in a formula. Over the course of your praying life, let these be topics of prayer."
You know, I think it's a musical commentary, because it takes the pressure off. I have over and over in life heard so many times people say, "Well, I simply don't know how to begin. I don't know what to say. I don't think my words are worthy enough." Well, none of that is true, it seems.
Exactly right. As soon as we say, and been there, done that, as soon as we say, "I don't know how to pray about this," what we really mean is, "I'm not sure what instructions I should give God." And so when you begin to learn that prayer is flowing, sometimes you're not even saying it in sentences with nouns and verbs and modifiers. Sometimes it's just flowing from your heart directly into the presence of the Lord. It's just, you are living a praying life. Now, that doesn't take away the fact that every day you need to find some time, and you need to set it aside and make it sacrosanct, time that you're not thinking about anything else except the presence of the Lord. You're not doing anything else except listening and responding to him. You need that. because that undergirds and feeds and strengthens that flow of a praying life. But I think, Kathy, that sometimes people get caught up in this sense of, I set aside my time for prayer. I did it by the formula I've learned. It didn't enrich me. I didn't feel the presence of God. I don't think I got it right. And it becomes a burden instead of a delight and a Sabbath rest that starts your day. So if we can learn that God is not about the formula, God is not about grading the words you say, but rather just surrendering yourself fully to his constant presence. We have a phrase we say, let's be in the presence of God. You are in the presence of God. The presence of God never leaves you, but it's how much you live in the awareness of that presence, that he is present to you. Now learn to be present to him, but let prayer take the pressure off. He's not grading you. There's not a right and wrong way to do it. You are living in a flow of his power and provision and presence.
You have delighted me with a particular book that you've written, or a bookette, I guess I'm going to affectionately call it, about praying for our descendants. I quite honestly have never seen anything like it. And it touched my heart. I have two boys for whom I pray unceasingly. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk with us, please, about what prompted you to focus on our future generations in such a unique and precious way.
The first thing that captured my imagination was I came across a letter from my great uncle. And he talked about praying for his siblings and for their spouses and for their children and for their children's children. And he said, every day I pray that the Medeiros family will form a solid phalanx in the army of the Lord. That so captured me. Then I began to realize that Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, he assumed that the prayer he prayed on that day in time and space could have effect until the end of time, when he said that he's praying for everyone who will ever believe because of the testimony of his disciples. That included me. That included any believer who will ever come to Christ until the end of the world. So that began to say to me, Jesus believed in this as a principle. I can pray today, and that prayer can have effect generations from now. And I began to realize that, as O. Hallisby says, I walk in the gentle rain of the answered prayers of my ancestors. So I just love that that's how we can store up riches in the spiritual realm for future generations. We can create a trust fund in the spiritual realm that the generations can call upon. And so we can pray over our children. And I just have this like little agreement with the Lord. When I speak the name of my boys and my grandkids before you, just slosh it on over to every generation that will ever come from me.
Well, this kind of gives Ancestry.com new perspective, because it sounds as though God has given us all an Abraham promise of blessing for our families for all generations.
Yes, exactly. Now, that doesn't mean that you inherit salvation. Every person will have his or her own moment of accountability with the Lord, but our prayers will make that moment a ripe moment. Our prayers will, as the saying goes today, set the table for what the Lord is going to do. And it's astonishing when you read the biographies of people who have believed in the prayers for generations, the way that prayer really works itself out generations from now. And I'd love to, every now and then I come across a story or someone tells me a story of discovering as an adult someone in their ancestors who had been praying for them all these years that they didn't even know about. It's just that prayer has no boundaries. It doesn't have a boundary of time. It doesn't have a boundary of geography. And so what you know, we would love to just hover over our children, and my children are adults and parents, and I would love to hover over them every minute of their lives and make sure everything goes smoothly, but I can't. And even if I could, I wouldn't get it right. What we cannot parent, we can pray. Mm,
very well put. When we come back from our break, Jennifer, I'm going to ask you more about an incredibly favorite topic of mine, which is intercessory prayer, and get your take on that.
Okay.
But for now, if you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Jennifer Kennedy Dean about the topic, prayer. And we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we have the pleasure of Jennifer Kennedy Dean, and the topic is the healing power of prayer. Well, Jennifer, before the break, I had suggested that intercessory prayer is something that I'm delving into on a personal level, and we know that Jesus sits at the right hand of God interceding for us, but it turns out that many of our earthly brothers and sisters are, even unbeknownst to us, interceding on our behalf in prayer. And there is some published literature and some research on this topic that seems to be predominantly positive. How important is that to you to know who is praying for you, or for all of us to know or not, in terms of intercession?
When we opened the program and we're talking about the fact that God designed prayer and he designed it to be the conduit through which his power flows into the circumstances of earth. And so when God calls you into intercession, which if you are a believer, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, consider yourself called. And sometimes he will give you an intercession assignment that is just definite and specific, and it sits in your heart, and it just makes a home there, and God calls you to intercession. Sometimes it's in passing. Sometimes you almost don't even realize that it's been intercession. It's just you've noticed this, you saw this person, something brought this to mind, and in heaven, that those shorthand prayers are already being interpreted as prayer. And sometimes you're interceding for things or people that you don't even know about. And there are people praying for you who don't even know the specifics, but they're just so tuned to the call of the Spirit to intercession, to the cooperative venture of prayer, cooperating with God in what he wants to do on the earth. So there is a constant flow of intercession going on. And I like to say God has secret agents everywhere. It might be the person who checked you out at the grocery store. It might be the teacher in your child's school. But God has secret agents that he can call to prayer at any time in any way. And so he does his work through intercession. That's what he does. He'll show you enough specifics that you can know when the specifics are never known, they're happening anyway.
I have a visual picture of a chain, links, conjoined people, hands, hearts, the prayer chains, very aptly themed and titled, I think, very, very nicely summarize what you've just said. And really, that is a constant dynamic, as you put it. In the pharmaceutical world, it would be called kinetic, as in kinetic energy. It constantly moves. It's not, I said the words, I'm done for the day, close the door, and move on. But as you would continue to talk to a delighted friend or a trusted family member or a colleague, when you care about someone, or certainly hope, care about Jesus enough, our Creator, you want to get to know them. You want to be in constant communication. It's almost an obsession, if you will. And that is something that I think interceding on others' behalfs or praying straight to the Lord ourselves can accomplish.
Or sometimes I think of it like this. Like if you came to me and your computer is all broken, well, there's not a thing I can do for you because I don't know anything about computers, but I can say, oh, I know who does, and I can take you right there. And that's really what intercession is. When someone asks us, would you pray for me about this, realize that that's not saying, would you give me the answer? Would you be the fixer? All you have to know to be an intercession is go, I don't know anything about that, but I know who does, and just taking that problem and handing it over to Jesus and letting him exercise his power in that situation, and that's really all intercession is. It's not big and complicated and mysterious. It's just, I know who's got the answer. Let me take it to him.
All right. Now, I know that many people would confess that they believe that they never really hear the answers to their prayers, and this is a burden. Mm-hmm. So maybe, again, this is a barrier or a stumbling block for their efforts to even begin. And yet, some would say that God hears every prayer, and I believe that, and he answers those prayers in his way, in his time. What would you say about this perspective?
First of all, I would say if there's any listener right now who really goes, oh, yeah, that's me, and you are so not alone. That is what so many people are carrying around, an experience or more than one, where you would say, I prayed as hard as I could, I believed as much as I could make myself believe, and it didn't happen. So now you have to find an explanation for that. Prayer doesn't really work, or I'm not good enough, or I don't have enough faith. But whatever it is, it discourages you from praying. So let me say, first of all, in Live a Praying Life, that's what I really tackle. One of the problems is that we think of prayer as the way you get stuff from God. So we think that prayer is where we tell God what should be done, and then we expect him to do that. And when he doesn't, we think we got to know. But here's what I've learned over all the decades of learning how to live a praying life, is that when that is my experience, here is the most likely thing. I have front-loaded my prayers with my expectations. My expectations seem like really good ideas. My expectations seem as big as I can think. But God is not interested in doing the best thing you can think of. He's interested in doing the best thing he can think of. And so many times we have our focus so narrowed because we're looking for what we anticipated that when God says yes, we don't see it because it's outside that box. And we have to see that the way God is working in our lives and the lives of people we love in response to prayer are not in little isolated incidents that have a beginning and an end, but rather in a way that flows from one incident to the next. And sometimes there are situations that look to us as if they have a conclusion that we don't think is right, but now we have to wait and see where that leads and what groundwork that lays for the next thing and how that sets the stage for the next thing. And one of these days we're going to be way down here and in a good place, and we're going to say, oh, I could never be here if I hadn't been there. Mm. And we point back to that place that we thought was a disappointment.
In 1 John 5:14, we hear the Lord speak to us when he says, and this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So be not distraught, dear listeners, if, again, as Jennifer says, you find yourself in this place that you think he isn't listening, he doesn't hear. Oh, yes, he does.
And trust, as you learn to live a praying life, break out of the saying prayers mold and move into the live a praying life, you're going to begin to learn to watch for His hand where you hadn't been looking before. And you missed it, not because it wasn't there, but because it wasn't where you were looking.
Well, Jennifer, I'm going to ask you to lead us in a prayer. It wouldn't be fitting not to do so, I think, on a topic such as this. But before we do that, tell us where our listeners can go to find out more about you and how to purchase some of your books.
Visit prayinglife.org, and there are lots of resources there. Under the Media tab, you'll find lots of free podcasts and webcasts. Under the Store tab, you'll find a whole tab in our store that's just free stuff. So while you can find all of my Bible studies and books, you can find lots of free resources, and we'd love to have you visit us at prayinglife.org.
Listeners, would you join us in prayer?
Father, because we trust in Your sovereignty, because we trust that Your hand is moving in every detail of our lives, I believe that in this moment, the right listeners are tuned in, that You have a word to speak into their lives that will be a word of encouragement, not of condemnation, that will be a word of inviting them into this intimacy of being in touch with Your power every minute of every day. So, Father, I ask that You move in lives. I ask that You whisper to hearts. I ask that You lure us into relationship with You the way You have designed it, and that You teach us how to live a praying life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And now to wrap up our show with the quote of the week. This is a wonderful definition of prayer that I found on a greeting card recently. No ocean can hold it back. No river can overtake it. No whirlwind can go faster. No army can defeat it. No law can stop it. No distance can slow it. No disease can cripple it. No force on earth is more powerful or effective than the power of prayer. Thanks so much to Jennifer Kennedy Dean for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a free library of health-related articles that I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Dana Davis talk about yoga on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.